Blog Talk Radio.
Life is easy when you're up on the mountain. You've got peace of mind like you never know. But things change when you're down in the valley. Don't stay, for you're never alone. For the God on the mountain, when you're up on the mountain. The talk comes so easy when life's at its best. Now it's down in the valley, trials and temptation, that's where you'll face to the test. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make them right. And the God of the
Amen. And welcome to the Sound Doctrine broadcast with Dr. Ventura this evening. We have our special guest this evening, the president and founder of Orphan Frontier, Lawrence Bowman, with us this evening. And I know there's some callers in the wings, and if we'll give you an opportunity to call in a little bit. I want to thank you for tuning in tonight. I want to thank all those who prayed for this program during the week and helped us to get it together this week. And sorry about the music. We're seeing a little technical difficulty there. But he is the God of the mountain, and he is the God of the valley. And we do serve a mighty God. I want to welcome the guests from around the world and those people in South Korea and Europe and those who have emailed us and written to us and have been praying for us. We do thank you very much. We appreciate it. We are feeling your prayers, and they are helping us, and they are helping the program and those associated with it, and we do thank you. Tonight, Brother Lawrence Bowman's with us. I'd like to read a piece of scripture before we get on. Are you there with me, Brother Lawrence?
Yes, I am.
Welcome to the Sound Doctrine broadcast, my brother.
Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
If we could open our Bibles this evening to Matthew chapter 19, I want to read something that Jesus said about children. And children had a special place in the Lord's heart. And it's a wonderful thing that God has placed such a burden on our brother Lawrence, because he has a special place for children in his heart. But if you look at Matthew 19, verse 13, Word of God says, "Then there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, Suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven." How about that? Suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. And I want you to know that the disciples felt that the children were going to be a burden. They were going to be a bother to the Lord. And there's a twofold message in there, that we should be, as Christians, innocent in our lives, in our thoughts, as children. And we should also understand that Jesus had a heart for children, and he took time for them. And so tonight I want to dedicate this program to the children around the world. Brother Lawrence?
Yes, brother.
Can you give us some background on your ministry?
Yes, thank you very much once again for having me on the program. Thank you for starting off with Matthew chapter 19, verse 13 and 14. I always tell people that I can never take credit for starting this ministry, Orphan Frontier. It wasn't even my idea. It was the idea of God. You know, brother, when I read this verse with you just now, my heart's convicted, because I, just like so many people, have been guilty. I was never hearing the cries of children around the world. My focus used to be, I was a successful businessman making six figures. God worked a lot of details in my life to get me away from my business and just to start focusing more on Christ and trusting him. And in doing that, God used the fires of life to really just prune my heart and give me a heart for men. And so I was focused on discipling men and helping men to grow in the Lord and know the Bibles and walk with God. But 3 years ago, I divinely went on just a little trip to Guadalajara, Mexico. And while I was down there at the Ana Vallejo Orphanage under the direction of missionaries Robert and Joy Murillo, I seen the reality of children in Mexico and the reality of children around the world, and even here in our local communities in America. I got to meet children who were physically abused sexually, and my heart was just touched. But I saw children who were living in a soul-winning, Christ-centered, Bible-based orphanage, and they had smiles. They were trying to serve the Lord, and and not think about the past, but try to make something of a life today as a child and go on, and they were given hope. And my heart was just really moved. And when I got back to America, I prayed to the Lord. I said, Lord, I'd like to really help this orphanage. I don't know how. And God brought a lady from a church in Ohio, and she made these beautiful crosses for me, and she gave them to me, and we just we sold those crosses for donations, and we was able to raise $500. And when I sent the money to the Murillos, I thought, Lord, that's just a drop in a bucket. Surely, God, you can do more than that. And to make a long story short, God began to bring missionaries and directors of orphanages my way who are rescuing children, who are helping children and giving them care and love in the name of Jesus. And God just began to allow me to make relationships with them and help them in different ways. And then God began to bring other people to help me. And that today, here we are. We just got incorporated with the state of California, and we're now a nonprofit organization, Orphan Frontier. And God's just doing great things. And, again, I cannot take credit. It's a privilege to be able to be an advocate for the children who are being abused and abandoned around the world.
Hey, amen. Peter, I just want to let you know I'm live here, too. Nathan connected me, so I just want to let you know I'm on here with you also, okay?
Oh, very good.
Thank you, Brother Joseph. Well, let me ask you something, Brother. How does you've been to Africa and you've been to Thailand, and I'm curious, how does the orphan situation compare between these different countries and our own country?
Well, brother, abuse, physical abuse, mental abuse, children literally being abandoned, sexually abused, it's the same in America and around the world. However, here in America, we are fortunate to have a very well-structured foster care system where children at least are given an opportunity to be given food and a place to sleep and clothing and education and hopefully someone will adopt them or at least put into some type of home. So we have that one structure here in America.
Sir, if I may, with all due respect, I've covered on my – with all due respect, my name is Joseph Gibson, and I respect your missionary. And Peter talked about you, and I respect what you're doing, and I do, and God bless you for that. However, what you're saying about we have a great foster care system in America – sir, we do not. I have covered on my radio show CPS cases of so much abuse and disgusting nonsense that's been going on within our criminal justice system. And we need to pray upon that, and we need to trust in the Lord in that. But what you're saying, maybe you're ignorant of that, with all due respect, but at the same time, we have a criminal system that sells our children across the world to here in America also, if you don't mind me saying.
If you let me finish my statement, I would be glad to address those issues.
Okay, thank you.
Comparably, you're very welcome, and please don't interrupt me again like that.
No, I will.
Comparably to the rest of the world, America has a great foster care system. You are correct, sir. We do have great troubles with the CPS and other issues. But when you compare the foster care system to the rest of the world, it is astoundingly great. I am so privileged to be able to meet mothers and fathers around America who are fostering kids, who try to stand in the gap. And we do have our troubles. And I want to thank you. I'm glad that on your particular radio program, you're able to address those issues. But when you leave the United States of America and you go to Africa, you go to Asia, you go to parts of Latin America where there is no foster care system, and you see kids literally walking and wandering the street, dying, taking care of themselves. Brother, when I was in Malawi, Africa a year and a half ago, I met a five-year-old. In fact, I have her picture on my website. This five-year-old takes care of a two-year-old sister. You don't have that in America, but you have it in Africa. So to answer Peter, the host question, yes, there are problems in America, but America, surely we are still blessed. When you go to other parts of like Africa and Asia, you see great troubles of children. I've seen, I've been to Cambodia where you just have neighborhoods in the red light district of children and young ladies just standing there waiting for some man from America or from Europe or from northern part of Asia to raise them, to purchase them for the night. They have nowhere to run away because they have pimps. They have the police department there guarding them. But you don't have it in America. Yes, we do have sex trafficking in America. Yes, it is still in the secret, and sometimes it can be in the open. But at least we have legislation in America that says, no, sex trafficking is wrong.
Well, in America, they don't say sex trafficking is wrong. CPS is selling our American children all across abroad. This is an international tragedy, sir. And you're right. Maybe in Africa they have it more worse. However, any tragedy against a child in this world is a sin, is a violation against God's word that we worship. And we are to follow God's word as much as possible. And you know what? This government in America is just as corrupt as all the other governments around the world. Maybe not as violent, maybe not as harsh. And I respect you, but are you afraid, sir, to speak against the American government? Because this government is corrupt and it is evil. We are not exalted the righteousness of this country. That we are not following the Lord in this country anymore, sir. We're not. And I, like I said, I'm not disrespecting you, and I respect you, and I'm grateful for what you're doing to spread the word of the Lord. But at the same time, CPS in this country is murdering American children, for God's sake. How can we justify that, or make the ends justify the means? I have many people listening tonight, sir, on this radio program, who live in America, who have had their children stolen from them, who have been abused and sexually molested. How can you downplay that? How can you, sir?
Well, I don't think Lawrence is downplaying that at all. I think that what he's saying, in the context of what he's saying, in spite of all the abuses that go on in the United States of America, we don't take our children and leave them in the jungle to be eaten because we can't support them. And I think
No, Peter. We throw them into the cities to use crack and cocaine and to sell drugs. And, you know, you're right. It's a different way. You're right. We don't allow them to be eaten by the monkeys in the jungle. You're right. But the ends don't justify the means. And we're wrong for doing anything bad against our children.
I agree with you 100%. I don't think Lawrence would disagree with what you're saying. We've heard many of these cases where children have gone into foster care and disappeared, and nobody knows where they are. And we've heard a lot of these things, and we've seen a lot. I spoke to somebody recently on one of your programs, that has a problem going on right now, where the CPS has taken his children because they felt that his wife's disability, they're not able to support the children, that they're in danger. And then we saw recently another case where you're talking about where a fellow was on medical marijuana, which was legal in one state, and crossed the lines with his kids, and it was illegal in another state, and his children were taken.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you.
And he's a veteran of the United States. But
thank you.
I do want to say this in the context. We do have our problems in this country, and there's no doubt about it. And those are but you know what? Other countries also have their problems. I agree.
And this brother is doing a great job. This brother is fighting against that. I agree 100% with what you're saying, Peter. I will not argue on that. And this brother is blessed for doing that. However, please don't downplay, don't play the ends justify the means because you're an American. Because America is just as corrupt as the other governments around the world, with all due respect.
I'd like to read something to you out of Scripture, if I might.
Okay.
If you have a Bible, you might turn with me to John.
I have it, yes.
And turn to John chapter 17. You know, this is the system belongs to Satan, unfortunately.
I know.
And he offered it, and he offered it to Jesus. It was Jesus anyway. Okay. But you see, when you read the scriptures over in chapter 17 of what Jesus said, he says, in verse 14, I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. The one thing Jesus didn't do, he didn't pray for the world.
That's right.
He prayed for those because the world system is corrupt. And though we're instructed to pray for those in authority over us, and no one man can tackle the complete system. That's
so true. So God bless. That's true. That's true.
We take men like Lawrence Bowman, who God is following the direction of God, and is has set up the Orphan Frontier Foundation, where we can't solve every child's problem, but we certainly can reach out to try and help all those that we can.
That's right. That's right. God bless. That's right.
And in comparison, and you're right, there is a corruption within the system, and there is a corruption in the foster care system in some. My friend Leo's mother had foster children and took very good care of them, better care than she did some of her own children who she birthed. And so
Peter, you are so right, and I will not disagree with, and thank you for pointing that scripture out, because we need to rightly divide the word of God. We need to rightly divide the word of God. You're absolutely correct. It's just that I feel very compassionate when I hear so many cases, and maybe I haven't addressed the cases that this brother has confronted, but like you said, Peter, you talked about the cases I've been talking about on my program, and I take it personally. I do. Any child that is hurt by this terrible, evil, satanic system, this secular world system we have, is disgusting, and we as Christians need to stand up and fight for every child around the world.
And I don't disagree with that, and I think that men like Brother Lawrence are doing that around the world. But they're also not only fighting for them, they're supplying for them through the grace of God. And they're seeing that, they can, what he's saying is, listen, if you were born in America, you hit the gene pool. You hit the gene lottery.
Right.
I mean, most states in America have larger budgets than most countries in the world, most nations. And so.
Peter, this gentleman is a missionary. This gentleman is a missionary, and he has done some great work. I know that. And God bless him. Listen, I have the utmost respect for him. But at the same time, he has to have the respect that what he says don't interrupt. Trust me, I will when it comes to a child. But I love the brother just the same. Okay?
Yeah, you missed the introduction because you called in late, and we're going to hear from Brother Lawrence, and then I'll give the callers an opportunity to, come in and talk a little bit. I'd like to go back to Brother Lawrence and.
Of course.
And you know what? In the mission field, Brother Lawrence is, and he comes back, our church supports him 100% as we can, as the Lord allows us to. But in the mission field, God's used him above and beyond just children. If you could tell us about the monks, Brother Lawrence, can you tell us a little bit about that when you were overseas, the monks' interest in the Lord Jesus Christ?
Yes, I can. And before I do that, I'd just like to explain what the mission of Orphan Frontier is. I hear the passion in this brother's voice, and he has a lot of passion, thank the Lord. And in my work, I've been able to meet people who have organizations that are dedicated to help families in the CPS problems. But that is not the mission of Orphan Frontier. There's different missions for different organizations. Orphan Frontier, the reason why we exist is, first of all, to magnify and honor the Lord Jesus Christ. And the way we do this is we serve the spiritual and physical needs of abused and abandoned children here at home, because this is our Jerusalem, and then to all the world. And we do that by establishing and sustaining Christian orphanages and children's homes. Whenever I'm in America and the people who work with me, we do try to bring awareness and education to the public about vile atrocities being inflicted upon children. And then we also try to advocate and support those Christian orphanages that are really using their money to go towards the children. There is so much exploitation out there. Now, to answer your second question, when I was in Cambodia, and this has happened in other countries, my focus is always the Great Commission, because that is our command from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And while I was over there trying to help some different orphanages, I went over and I took the opportunity to go into the temple grounds of the Buddhist religion, and I was able to talk to different monks. Now, in the nation of Cambodia, it is illegal to share the gospel and try to convert someone to Christ inside the temple grounds. So when I was on the temple grounds, I said, well, you know what, Jesus has given me jurisdiction everywhere. So these people need to hear the gospel. And so I met some monks, and I started asking them questions about their own religion. And they had, when I went inside the temple,
good
they
for
had
you.
In
good
one,
for you.
One particular place, they had 16 idols. And I asked the monks, I said, are those your gods? And they said, yeah. And I said, "What? Do your gods ever talk to you?" And one of them, one of the monks looked at me and he said, well, no, why would they? And I said, well, thank you for asking that question. I said, the reason why I asked is because my God, he talks to me. And that particular monk, he thought that was interesting. So him and I, we went for a walk on the temple grounds. And for the next whole hour, I was able to share Christ with him. And he began to open up and ask some real good questions about the God of the universe. He knew that there was a God of the universe, but he didn't know his name, and he was fascinated to learn that you could have a relationship with him. And so I was able to share Christ. And so that's something I always try to do is, and we all should. If we call Jesus our Savior, no matter where we are, whether it be in a schoolhouse or at a workhouse, we should be sharing Christ with people. And one way that we can share Christ with people is just by opening and asking questions to people and get them to think. Because what eventually will happen is they will start asking you questions, and then there you have the liberty and the freedom and the peace to share Christ with people.
Amen. Hey, that's good stuff.
So true. So true. Amen. Good job. Yes.
I have a couple other callers on the line, but before we get to them, I want to ask you something about, you mentioned was it Cambodia or Thailand? You say that there are children on the street just, you know, waiting to be sold, or are you trying to survive because they don't have a parent, or, you know, by selling themselves? And what country was it? Well, I guess it's in all countries, but where did you find it most prevalent?
Well, first of all, I personally have never been to Thailand, but Thailand, Cambodia, Laos, Vietnam, those are some of the highest sex trafficked parts of the world. Our next-door neighbor, Mexico, there is an industry called sex tourism here in America, and actually it's around the world, but there are actual websites and companies that you can call and say, hey, I would like to take a one-week vacation. And it's not to go see the sights of the land or lay on a beach. I want you to put together a sex package for me that I can meet children and every day have sex with children. And my friends who are listening, I know that's very hard to hear what I just said. But
it's
I say it so forwardly because one of the top consumers is the American consumers. If you go next door to our neighbor, Mexico, the top five parts of Mexico where Americans leave and go for sex tourism is Tijuana, is Mexico City, is Guadalajara, where I was just at for 4 months, is Chiapas, Mexico, and Puerto Vallarta, you know, that beautiful beach city that people go to. And my friends, in Mexico, you don't see as much people standing on the streets, maybe in Tijuana and a couple parts of Mexico City and Guadalajara. But if you go to Asia, where I've been to, and like in India, where I'm going to in October, there are literally neighborhoods, streets upon streets, where people are standing. And the reason why they're standing is there's a pimp. There is the government, the police officers, who are guarding them. I was down in Tijuana, Mexico, I think it was spring of last year, and I put this on our website, Orphan Frontier, and I put it on my Facebook page. And we did some video recording, and one of the pimps came up to us, and this is the favor of God. God was protecting us. The pimp said, you need to get out of here right now and stop recording, or you're in trouble. And we knew what he meant. So we obeyed him, and we walked to another street. But then we started videotaping secretly. And right across the street from me was a 16-year-old girl standing on the street, and right next to her was a Mexican soldier guarding her. My friends, these things should not be. But the reason why I bring them up before churches and before the public is because the Americans, we are some of the top consumers. And yes, some of the other consumers are from Europe and Northern Asia. But it is a trouble of America. And I believe the reason why is we have sinned so far from God. We have gotten so far away from God that we are allowing our hearts to be hardened into the most gross sins there is. But thank God, I'm reminded in Genesis 21:17. You might be reminded of Genesis chapter 21, that this is where Abraham, he kicked out Ishmael and Hagar. But in verse 17, Genesis 21:17, it says two times, God heard the voice of the lad. And I believe today that God is hearing the cries of children in America and around the world. And he's calling people like me. He's calling people like you. You who are listening right now. God is begging you. Will you get involved? Will you mentor children?
He is.
Will you adopt children? Will you foster children? Will you give money to organizations such as Orphan Frontier and so many out there that are helping children? Will you open up your life and give your life? God wants to use you, my friends. You're listening to this message. It's not by accident you're listening. God is inviting you. That's what the Great Commission of Jesus Christ is. Jesus is calling you and saying, come, I want to use your life. All you have to do is say, Jesus, how will you use my life? God, what do you want me to do today? And he'll tell you, if you get in the Word of God, and if you get into prayer and fasting, he'll tell you. And oh, what a joy it is to be part of the solution and not part
of
the problem.
That's right. Thank you. You're absolutely correct. And not to interrupt you, but listen. And that's the problem with a lot of preachers out there today. They talk, and they don't walk the walk. Now, you're a missionary. I know you walk the walk, and you talk the talk. But there are people out there, like Peter said, who want to get on the line tonight. Peter, please, I invited a lot of people on tonight. Let's get them on the line tonight and let them be heard, if you don't mind.
Yes, I intend to do that, brother. I intend to do that. I like the Lord. I like when the Lord moves the program along. I get you. I understand. I invited quite a few people also. But I want them to have an understanding of Lawrence's position and who Lawrence is and what the Lord's called them to do. And I don't know if Lawrence can answer every question that the callers have, but the phone lines are open. There are some people that were hanging on from the very beginning here. And I think if it's okay with Brother Lawrence, I give him an opportunity to ask some questions.
Yes, please go ahead and get the first call on.
Finally, yes, put them on. Thank you.
My impatient brother. I love you, brother.
You know how I am. I like to keep other people on there.
Yeah. Okay. So the first caller that called in, I spoke to you earlier. Please feel free to speak to Brother Lawrence or myself. The line's open to you.
It's up to Nathan to connect them, I believe. Nathan needs to connect them.
Excuse me. Nathan already put some people already through that came on live with us.
Okay. Oh, so okay. All right.
If you're live with us right now, please feel free to, you know, to ask a question or.
Hello. Nathan needs to call out the area code of the people that are waiting to come online. And listen, I'm on Facebook right now with three different people who want to come on. Hey, how about Lisa Mitchell? Is Lisa Mitchell on tonight?
I am. Thank you.
All right. There you go. There's our first caller.
Thank you. And my family did a lot of missionary work in Africa as well. And the sad part is, deeply devoted as they are to God, they had to learn about some of the realities that were going on in the world that made them very uncomfortable to hear, which is what's going on with the children. For some reason, it makes people uncomfortable, but in order for us to fulfill our purpose here and to continue on our mission, we have to talk about things that are uncomfortable because the children don't really have a voice. They're not going to be able to call in. They're not going to be able to talk with us tonight. So we speak out for the kids, you know?
So true. So true.
Hold on.
And listen, if anyone's got any background noise, if anyone's on the line, please, your background noise, if you're on a cell phone and you got background noise, it disrupts the entire call. So just hang up.
If you're using your cell phone and you have your internet on at the same time, or two people are in the same room with the cell phones on, that'll also cause background noise. And you're breathing. If you're breathing in your phone, we can hear you. I'm glad to know we have a live audience. Amen.
And if you're standing
Lisa,
on one
but Lisa, real quick.
Yes.
I know you. I know I had some technical difficulties, and we want to help you out. And just tell this missionary a little bit, real quick, about your situation and what's going on here in America with your case.
Okay, thank you. Basically, I love God, and when I saw what was happening to my child, I prayed to Him and asked Him for a lot of direction, and he just kept telling me, I'm trying to teach you the crime. You have to learn the crime or you're not going to be able to fight what's happening to your child or yourself. And sure enough, he taught me the crime. I've learned a lot of corruption that's happening in particular to my child. And also with God's grace, you know, we do have a federal lawsuit, and with God's grace, we have been able to have some victories against this enemy. But basically, you know, my son's disabled, and CPS took my son who's disabled and have used him in state care and extorted him for a lot of money. So we know about these cases, but I just want to say that I couldn't do it without God. I don't know how anybody can do it without God.
That's
because
right.
Every day he's giving me wisdom. He's telling me the next direction. This is my purpose. I'm walking it, and I've changed laws for a lot of kids, and I've been a part of helping other children. We're dealing with a really evil enemy.
Go ahead, Peter. Go ahead, Peter.
Lisa, can I politely interrupt you?
Yes, we spoke
before, and can you tell Brother Lawrence about the bills that were sponsored in California here?
I can. Thank you. And actually, I have it on my Facebook wall again. We are pushing once again to stop the psychotropic drugging of these children with FDA-unapproved drugs. And they're drugging the kids in these facilities for numerous reasons. They're drugging them to make them docile. They're hypersexualizing the kids with the drugs because they're giving them forms of Viagra. They're also giving them drugs that cause aggression and violence, which helps these kids end up in the juvie system. And they're also giving them the drugs to make a lot of money off of it. And then we have psychiatrists, doctors that are getting pharmaceutical kickbacks to drug the kids. And then this is also being all picked up by the taxpayers through the Medicaid system. So taxpayers are paying for the abuse of America's children. Taxpayers are paying for the abuse of these kids when they take their Social Security and abuse the kids with their benefits. The taxpayers are paying for this when, you know, CPS or, you know, the court systems or anybody gets away with the sex trafficking of these kids. You were talking about it earlier. We had an insider that was telling me that actually caseworkers have been known to sell some of these kids to sex traffickers, and they report them as runaways and missing to the police. We know that they're sex trafficking the kids. We know what's happening with children, it's just how can we stop it? And slowly but surely, we have our victories. Every day we get a victory, but. This is a huge problem, and it does trickle to the other parts of the world, because I don't only focus on America. I also focus on what's happening in other countries.
That's right.
To other children in other countries, and how corrupt their system is, because this whole, like we said, the ruler of the earth is Satan, but we've also got Brotherhood, and they put these people in power. They're all a part of this brotherhood, what they call themselves, Brotherhood. They go by many names, but these people they all nominate their evil people to get in there. And the only way some of these people ever get brought down from power, like the tyrants of our ancient times, is that they throw each other under the bus. So when a sex trafficker somebody gets too close to someone in power, such as the politicians and these people that are touching the kids because the rich really love these kids, then they'll throw one or two people
under
the bus.
And tell me, Lisa, and tell me, and this missionary we have as a guest tonight, who I really respect, he's handled these calls tonight. I respect him, and Brother Peter spoke highly of him. And I respect him because he's handling these calls quite well. What's your opinion, brother?
Can I say something on?
Of course, that's what I'm addressing. Of course, yeah, that's why I'm addressing you. Thank you. Please chime in, please.
Well, I appreciate some of the things that she's brought up, because May 9th of this year in Los Angeles, a sheriff's psychologist was arrested. Because she was accused of child sex crimes.
Yes.
Then,
and
January of 15th, we had a local nonprofit officer. He was arrested on sex charging for just doing some horrible things to some children. And so these are just two cases. Because on our website at Orphan Frontier, we have a page dedicated to news articles of sex trafficking things that are happening to children. And I can just give you scores of things that just happened in the last 16 months. Like just 2 days ago, there was a guy from the U.S. Navy. He was arrested in Georgia for doing sex trafficking. Then you had another guy who was a fireman in Georgia for doing sex trafficking. May the 2nd, you had a petting zoo employee. He was arrested. You had a priest on April 30th, and he was arrested for having sex in Michigan. You have a teacher. On April 11th, you have Disney. Oh, my land. The horrible
and
wicked company
really
of Disney.
Sad. I love our military, so I don't want anybody to please.
Oh,
please,
I love them, too.
Oh,
thank you, Jesus, for them.
Of what I'm fixing to say, please don't ever think that I'm lumping all of our servicemen, because I love our servicemen dearly. I fought very hard for our servicemen to be recognized for the post-traumatic stress syndrome, and that was based on my son's brain injury. But what I am going to say is we do know that there are heavy traffickers in our military that traffic the children, and they have high military clearance. And this would probably be something that a lot of our lower servicemen would never be a part of until you become very high ranking. They're able to move the children around without, you know, detection. They're able to get into places without, you know, problems. And it's a huge issue. I mean, we know that there's a lot of the pedophilia in our White House, and we know what's happening to the children. And like I said, the moment that somebody gets too close to the
Did you hear
the
what
hive,
was on the news today?
What?
One of the associates of Black Lives Matter, he was arrested for pimping out a 17-year-old, and the White House.
Oh, my Lord.
The White House did not vest, and they had just invited him. He was supposed to be going to the White House to meet President Obama. But thankfully, he was caught and arrested.
Abomination.
This is
abomination.
Happening in America.
Abomination. And thank you for that. That is breaking news. Thank you so much.
I believe in networking, and I think this is a good opportunity for Lawrence. I'm glad you called in. I think it's a good opportunity for you, and I think you ought to exchange some information later. Also, Lisa Mitchell.
Her name is Lisa Mitchell. Lisa Mitchell, Peter.
Yes.
Good evening, everybody. Am I on the call?
I understand.
We got Bitbanker. We got Bitbanker on the line, too, Peter.
All right. Slow down a second here. I wanted to know, Lisa, if you ever heard of the Bilateral Safety Corridor Coalition.
That actually sounds familiar. How do I know that?
They're from National City, California. Their director is Marissa Ugarte.
That sounds really familiar. I do a lot of work with California, though I'm in Colorado, and I'm from Texas, if you can hear my accent. So.
I'm in California. I'm from New England, so I understand. But they're a network also that's I should post her that information myself, but they're another network that's working with in California and around the country, you know, saving girls. So we had the opportunity, my wife and I, to with help, we rescued a Japanese girl, and we were able to get her mother here from Okinawa to take her back home and get the government, the FBI, to release her because she was their witness. But her mental health was so destroyed that, you know, she couldn't be a witness for anybody anyway. She had to be institutionalized when she was in our care. It is sad.
I want to just touch on that just briefly. I know we have a short show, but I want to touch on that very briefly. These people know mind control. What they do is if they can torture a child or sexually molest a child at a very young age.
That's right.
What ends up happening is they shatter their personality into a million pieces. And this is where we get the multiple personalities that we see from victims that have been, just tortured at such a young age. And the only way, I mean, God's grace does come in. I know God comes in that grace in that torture, but the personality must shatter to be able to survive. And so I wanted to educate people on that. Multiple personality is a shattered personality, and it's from extreme child sexual abuse or torture to a child.
Right. Now, Joseph, you suggest somebody else on the line?
Somebody else? Yes, I believe it's Bitbanker. Go ahead, Bitbanker.
Yeah, this is Joe. This is Bitbanker from Mary.
Go ahead.
I don't have too much to add to this conversation. I wasn't going to chime in at all, but
your phone is breaking up.
Well, that's because I'm any better? I'm real far away.
Yes, that's better.
Okay.
We can barely hear you. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, well, it's only going to be a second anyway, so I haven't got too much to add. I really don't know too much about the Bible, but you were talking, so I thought I'd chime in, and a little bit of humor to go along with it, and which will bring me to my ending point. You know, I read a little joke today. You know, people were in church, and all of a sudden Satan appeared, and everybody ran out except for this one person, and Satan wanted to know why he didn't run out, and then he told him because he's married to his sister. But what I'm getting at here is that we're all married to the government here, and that's where the problem is. And we need to stick together, and we need to talk about these things, because when the people get together, we can fix these problems. And it brings me to my final moment for Joe's show tomorrow night, which will give us more detailed information about what I'm talking about. And I thank all of you, and I'll continue listening.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling in and taking the opportunity to share your
Peter,
your thoughts with us. Brother Lawrence?
Yes.
Still with us?
I appreciate everyone's concerns for different abominations that are happening to children. And
yes.
And I hear people all the time talk about and complain and bring to knowledge about the troubles. However, just talking about the troubles to one another is not the solution. And I would like to encourage people, one way that you can be part of the solution of these horrible things to children is, first of all, to give your life. I'm going to repeat it. In America, we have 450,000 children that are in the foster care system. And yes, before you jump on me, yes, I noticed some kids in the foster care system that aren't supposed to be there, but let's put that aside for the moment. There are children in the foster care system because they are there because of real issues that are greater than them. Those kids need to be fostered, and I would encourage people to get into foster care, adopt children, help organizations like Orphan Frontier to give financially, open up
your
home to children.
You are so correct.
Well, thank you. Thank you for saying that. Open up your home. You know, I go to churches all over America, and I meet so many Christians, and you talk to them, and they Christians are so uncomfortable with opening up their home to people. But we don't see Christ like that. Christ, he made himself approachable, available, touchable with people. People could come to him. And if we call ourselves Christians, we need to learn how to open up our home, open up our lives to people, and let people communicate and talk to us, and that we can listen to them. And these are just fundamental ways that help. I believe it was Harvard University about a month and a half ago. It might have been Harvard, it might have been Yale, but they did a million-dollar study, and they found out if you just spend 1 hour of quality time with a child, that goes a great difference to steer a child away crime and going into a prison. Just 1 hour. And I was thinking, well, what about us millions of Christians across America who aren't opening up our lives? I want to call Christians to open up your lives. Communicate.
Amen.
Look at people in the eyes.
I loved everything that you said, but I just want to add one thing. There are a lot of parents out there that are like me, that not all parents are good or need help. A lot of parents need help to learn how to raise their kids. But there are a lot of parents out there that want their children and didn't do anything wrong. I know that sounds really hard for a lot of people to wrap their heads around because I used to be the same way.
Lisa, you're so correct. You're so correct. But you know what? I just want to say something real quick that's
this
so important.
So, rude.
So important. Hang on, brother. Let me tell you something. You're putting too much trust in the American system and the justice system we have in America. America has fallen to Satan, okay? And the CPS system and the social service system we have in America today is just as evil as it is around the rest of the world. And America has fallen. It has fallen. And we need to repent. We need to repent.
They make $8,000 to $40,000. They make that just to put a child up for adoption. When this
right,
parent
and what everybody's saying here is what I said in a nutshell. We need to stick together and get rid of this government. Because this government
is the government
is the Satan in my scenario. And when people stick together, just like Lawrence said, yes, give to his cause, support him. Because when you know your neighbors, and when you know your neighbors and your neighbors know their neighbors, then we are one and we can fend for ourselves. But when you involve the government, you have no control. And that's what I meant to, that's what I said in my nutshell before.
Right.
That's right.
There are a lot of parents that want their kids. So it's what we find is a lot of these kids are being put in the foster care system or being put up for adoption when they really didn't get any due process, because the courts and CPS and a lot of these people make a lot of money off adoption. So there's another side to the story in here. But I do agree.
Can I ask you a question, please?
I am adopted, so I want to add that. Just on my last note,
He wants to ask a question. Go ahead. Go ahead, brother.
Okay.
Many of these kids who are put into CPS foster care incorrectly, do they not tell the new foster care parents, hey, I had wonderful parents. I don't know why I'm in here.
Well, they don't disclose a lot of the children's problems because of the confidentiality.
No. The children themselves, if I was a foster parent and I was receiving a child, and when I received the child into my home and that child began to speak well of their regular parents, I would realize, you know what, this isn't a problematic real issue.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any examples of incidents like that happening?
Are you saying we don't have any issues? Hang on, I'm not asking that question.
I'm asking the lady.
You're not going to ask me because I have definite proof as a radio program show host, sir, that we do have documented evidence that this government
is evil. I'm not talking to you right now. I don't mean to be direct, sir.
Okay, I'll answer your question. There are children that are in a hospital that have need care, and the parent wants a second opinion. I'll give you one example. Parent wants second opinion. The doctor's too arrogant to allow the parent to have a second opinion, and the Department of Human Services contracted with the hospital, and the next thing you know, the parent has CPS showing up trying to take away their baby. That is not bad parenting. They're scared because they don't understand their child, why the doctor's telling them they need to have this surgery. They have a right to a second opinion, and they're being denied a second opinion, and the next thing you know, CPS is falling their child away out of a hospital.
Okay. Thanks for answering that question. Sir, are you a 501c3 supporter? Do you support 501c3?
No, he's not 501c3. He's recognized by the state of California, Joseph.
So he's recognized by the state of California.
I want to say something because I don't want to take this program into a controversial place.
Mm-hmm.
But what I want to say is I've had my own experience with CPS as a father back in the 70s. And I had a child who's a doctor, did not put in for put the child on the solids and she was still on liquids and ended up being malnourished, not because of anything we did, but because of what the doctor did.
Right.
And was unemployed at the time. When CPS came in, because I showed no means of financial support, they took my children. And my children were brought to places where they were injured and then shifted from home to home. And so, I understand the experience. Regardless of what I would like Lawrence to do is I'd like Lawrence to tell us how can we support your program, Lawrence, mission, and what is your contact information, And where can we view your newsletter? I know you put out a newsletter.
Thank you very much. The name of our 501c nonprofit organization is Orphan Frontier. Our headquarters is in San Diego, Tijuana area. We do have a website at www.orphanfrontier.org. Again, that's orphanfrontier.org. And there people can read our quarterly newsletter that we put out, let people know what's going on. Also, people can follow us on Facebook at Orphan Frontier or under me, Lawrence Bowman, the Lawrence Bowman in San Diego, in Facebook. And those are different ways you can contact us.
Okay,
That's great.
There's a couple things that I didn't know, and I did make an error in introducing you, Brother Lawrence. I don't apologize. You know, we Church of Support, I kept saying Thailand, and it was Cambodia.
Cambodia. Cambodia. God bless you.
Brother Lawrence is going to India, and I believe October. And what pastors are you working with, missionaries there, Lawrence?
Orphan Frontier, we're working with a national pastor. His name is Dr. David Sivanisi, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. And because India, for the last 2 years, has become a restricted nation, I have to be careful how I tell this. They have a lot of great, great work over there. And so by God's grace, I'll be getting into India and helping with his orphanage, who is
wrestling
some sex trafficking.
Peter, real quick before you end the program, there's people in the chat room that are saying I should let Peter run the program because I'm so rude. But I'm trying to point out facts.
Joseph, I think we all understand. Joe, I think we all understand this is a very passionate subject.
Passionate when it comes to children. You're absolutely correct.
This is a passionate subject. And we can get rambunctious against each other and with each other and passionate about it. So I don't think anybody...
He says Joe Gibson is cutting people off. You know what it is? We have a time limit. And when we want to talk and talk and ramble on about the same thing, he says, she said, Joe Gibson, you know what? You come on to my program anytime you want. And I promoted this show tonight so this brother can have his say. But I brought a lot of people onto this program tonight so that we can get the word out about the children who are being abused around the world today. And if people have a problem with that, because I'm passionate about that, then call into my program Sundays and Thursdays, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 657-383-0616, and I'll let you have your say. You know what? Because our children are our future. Our children are our future.
We're going to be being raised by children. One in five now have autism. We're going to be raised by children with multiple being taken care of us in our elderly years with multiple personalities because they've been tortured, coming out of prison or living in state care, foster care, with really not any really knowing how to have a real life. This is disturbing to me that we're pumping out very broken people.
And you're right. You're right.
Really broken people, and they're going to be caring for us in our senior years, and they're not going to have the tools to care for us because they didn't have the upbringing or the normal type of everyday family type of situation, and they're going to be caring for us. And I find it so, that's what gets me so upset, is I find it so disturbing.
I agree 100%. And Lisa, you brought such an emotional topic and the things you talked about. And people don't understand in the chat room. Peter and I put together this program. We work together. Brother Peter is a very knowledgeable and, listen, a personal friend of mine. okay?
Mm-hmm.
He and I have lived through the toughest times that anyone could ever imagine. And that's why Peter lets me say what I have to say on this program, because he and I have the same viewpoint. We may disagree, but we do it throughout love and education.
Right.
So those of you in the chat room who are trying to agitate anything other than that, shame on you. Really, shame on you.
Well, I like to say this to everybody listening. I appreciate your input, and I think that it's an important subject. I think we've covered a lot of topics and a lot of subjects here. And I think that, as Brother Lawrence said, every man has his calling. Not every man's called to pastor my church. Not every man is called to be a missionary. Not every man is called to be an evangelist. But
right.
That doesn't mean we're all not called for the Great Commission.
That's right.
And we're all called to help and to be Christians. And we have a coldness in our church and a lack of love, and because we're teaching a different Jesus in our churches. We're not teaching the Jesus of the Bible. And so the Jesus of the Bible is a compassionate, loving God, and we're not teaching that. We're talking about a Jesus. Churches today don't even want people who have been in prison in their churches because other Christians are offended by it. And, you know, that's not Christianity.
That's sad. That's disgusting.
My point is, in prison,
that we're supposed to explain to them even harder. Because a lot of people that are in prison.
God bless you, Alicia. That's right.
A lot of people are innocent. There are a lot of people in jail. My son is innocent. And there are so many people that, you know, people ask me, you know, what would you think about, do you believe in the death penalty? And I said, you know what, my whole thought of the death penalty has been shaken because we see so many people in jail that are innocent, that are whistleblowers, that spoke out against their government.
So true. So true. So true. And Lisa, you're right. Go ahead, brother. Brother Peter, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm going to have to wrap this up, but Joe and I have been working on a case, Michael Kendall out of Connecticut. I've been personally doing a lot of legal work on this case for the last 6 years, and this is a fellow who's innocent. We're going to put that out on the air in a few weeks from now. But as I was saying, everybody's not called to a specific field, but everybody can help. And Brother Bowman here, he's given his life. Now, here's a man who was making six figures that just turned his life over to the Lord and went in a whole different direction. He was a successful businessman, a place where a lot of people would be very envious to be.
God bless him. God bless him.
And he heard the call of God. And so in believing in that sincerity, I've turned our pulpit over to him many, many times here. And he's come back and he's given us the reports, and we're grateful for what he does in hearing the call of God. But I have to be honest with you, he cannot do it without support. And so God keeps his people. And I'm not begging money for a brother. If the Lord puts something on your heart, that's fine. He's giving you the information. But not only Brother Bowman, there's a lot of missionaries out there that $2 in some of these foreign countries means an awful lot to a missionary. And they have their children. A lot of missionaries are leaving their children.
A cup of coffee here in America could make a difference. That's what you're saying, Peter, right?
Of course. So, you know, if you're willing to give up a cup of coffee, you could help some missionary reach out to some children. Think about that. But I want to thank all the people that came on tonight. Any final thoughts from you, Brother Lawrence?
Thank you so much.
I love you, Brother Lawrence. I'm wondering if you have any final thoughts besides thank you.
I want to say thank you for letting me be on the show, and I hope that people will be encouraged, at least from my standpoint of view, to involve your life into the life of another person. Please visit our website at orphanfrontier.org. I will be going to India later this year in October, and we have different needs, but I won't mention those. That's between you and God. If you ask God, if you should help. But most importantly, I hope that you would involve your life. If you're listening, make sure that your life is being invested in the life of another person, because I have found personally that the more I minister to people, more I am ministered back in my greatest need.
Yes.
Amen. You're there. You're there.
Amen.
Yeah.
Brother Joseph, am I losing you, Joe?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here, Peter, brother.
I know we've you came on here like a fireball, so I'm going to let you give us your call out sign for your radio program. So that people know where to
Peter,
find you.
Yeah, Peter, look, you and I, like I said in the beginning, Peter, you and I have gone way back to a time that many callers here tonight will never understand. You and I saw things that many will never understand. We lived through things many will never understand. We believed like many will never understand. We got saved like many will never understand. But anyway, my call letters, listen, understanding the times in which we live in today, blogtalkradio.com/Joseph Gibson, Sundays 6 p.m., Thursdays 6 p.m., and listen, I don't cut people off. You're all welcome to say what you got to say. You know, the goal here is to change and have an awakening, because we can have an awakening in America today. We can. And my goal is to save women like Lisa out there, who is lost, you know, and many other CPS cases that I've taken on. And, Brother Peter, you know that. Hey, I won't back down from anybody. You know that. You set a fireball. You're absolutely right. I'll never back down. You know me. But anyway, Peter, I know you got to wrap it up. God bless you for that. Well, those of you who are listening tonight, thank you for hearing me. And you're always welcome on my show, all of you, no matter what. Go ahead, Brother Peter. Thank you. God bless.
Thank you, Lisa. I want to thank you very much. There was one other fellow that had called in, and I'm curious if he's still on the line and he had a question to ask before I wrap this up. He was on the line. He came in the very beginning, and I asked the callers to wait until we gave him an opportunity, and then he just kind of never got in there, and I wanted to hear from him. It was important in my heart, and he's been on my heart now. I talked to him personally, and this is the fellow whose wife has a disability, and they've taken his children.
Yep.
I'd like to. Are you still on there?
Yep. Brother Peter, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Yes, I can.
Yes, this is Freddie Verzoza, the father of the seven angels.
Yes.
Yeah. There was go ahead. Go ahead.
I'd like to know your thoughts before I, have to wrap this program up. I think it's important to have your voice heard tonight.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate the opportunity. I was just trying to calm myself because it's a very touching situation, because Miss Lisa there had mentioned something about, how the system has been on with the kids. My children, the seven angels, and the reason I name them seven angels, because they're seven innocent children that, up to this point, don't even know what is even going on.
Mm-hmm.
And my thing is that we just miss a couple of vaccine shots, which is not really a mandatory, but they had given them, they had caught up because they said that they are not, they're behind on them. They got caught up again, so they gave them a double dose in 1 year, a double dose of the same vaccine. So now, my point is that now, with this kid, I have a son that's never been diagnosed with autism. Now he's got autism. He's got allergic to certain foods. He has to have a gluten-free. My children has never been in a hospital for any injury. Since they've gotten them, my son had, I have a two-year-old that had opened up his head. They got in that had stitches on his head. I have two kids, two sons that had been circumcised without even my consent. I've had children that got multiple issues now, but they never. My wife has a disability, but my wife had care and love for these children that she managed to take to love these children and not end up in the hospital. Brother Lawrence, I'm asking your Brother Lawrence to keep up in your prayer.
The Obama administration, last year we were flooding the Obama administration and the Civil Rights Division of the Justice Department complaining that either parents with disabilities, their children were being removed because they had a disability, or our children were being removed because they have a disability. And Obama got involved with that. So if this is continuing and your wife, with her disability, there's ADA rights. I encourage you to please write the Justice Department Civil Division, the Civil Rights Division, and complain to them that your children were removed because it's. I want you to look it up in the news, too, what I'm telling you, because Obama got involved with it. We were flooding the Justice Department and the Obama administration with this, that we were so outraged. What happened to you is a violation of the law.
Thank you. And I have reached out to ADA.
Yeah.
I have reached out to ADA, and they said that they couldn't help me because I had an appointed attorney. I'm an uneducated person because this has never happened to us, and I know that sounds really ignorant for me to say that, but I have been begging. We have been suffering. These children have had so much. Every time we go into a visitation, that you have back side or constantly sick.
Yeah. This is an important show, Brother Peter. This is an important show. I know you have other callers on the line too. We have so many people who want to talk tonight. We have so many people who want to talk tonight. It's amazing.
I'm on Facebook, but I don't know if you're on Facebook. My name is Lisa Mitchell, and my picture on Facebook tells the story. And it says, if you find my Facebook page, it says this. It says, holding each state accountable for state and federally funded child abuse, shining a light on all the children abused in state care. All 50 states are found guilty. That if you can find me on Facebook.
I sure will, ma'am. I sure will, ma'am. I appreciate you. God bless you.
They are violating your rights, and you need to. I'll help you get you in the direction that you need to file the complaint. Get your attorney to help you. But this is nothing that the Justice Department, Civil Rights Division, and Obama is not aware of. And DHS.
That's right.
Is violating people's rights, and I want to go back to the missionary. I'm so sorry, I can't remember your name, sir. But here's another example that the families are not broken, but these kids are being removed, and these children are so loved, and we
That's
miss
right.
our kids. We want our children back.
Not only that, ma'am. But right now they're getting ready to terminate our rights, and also the foster have already. They've already processed the adoption papers.
God, see, and this is what we were just talking about. There's children that are on the market, nothing more than a child
right.
market. We love our children and we want them back, and we don't want somebody to adopt them. We don't want somebody
to have them.
We want our children back.
My children are not pets. They're not for adoption.
I'm telling you right now, my kids are not pets. They're not for adoption. I'm begging you.
That's right. And we will help you. We will help you. I promise we will.
I got a son that's in a critical condition because the foster parents failed to give him the medical attention. So the doctor told us he's in a critical condition.
I talk to parents like you all day long. I believe you. I want you to know I believe you. And this is the problem. People don't believe us. We get into
right.
this mode where we're frantic because we're trying to save our children. and we're just frantic. But I.
And that's what this show is all about. And Lisa, listen, that's what this show is about. We want to help each other through God. Through God. Am I right, Brother Peter?
I want you to know that this alternative media, and, you know, they talk about AM and FM, but people are turned off by AM and FM. They're turned off by CNN and MSNBC and all these Fox News. People are tired of being fed, and they've turned to alternative media. We've hit up to 43,000 people at one time or another on this program. And I've only been on for maybe a year and a half, 2 years. And this is a guest spot for me. I was invited by a friend who began Enterprise Media and offered me this spot to come on. And so I'm glad, and I want you to know your voice is being heard. And there are people on the East Coast that will come back now, tomorrow and the day after, and they will archive this. And they will hear this program, and your voice is being heard, and people are becoming aware. And it took courage for all of you to come on tonight, and I appreciate that.
Courage. You're right.
The first time I exposed this corruption, my kid ended up in jail. I'm still continuing to expose the corruption. I have nothing else to lose except for him to be killed. I'm doing my purpose. I'm fulfilling my will. I'm doing what God
That's right.
My heart.
You're right. You're fulfilling your will.
I'm making a difference. I've got victories, but this enemy is so huge. But I am so determined.
Yeah.
God asked, who will go for us? He asked it in Isaiah. Who will go for us? And Isaiah said, choose me. Here I am, God. Pick me. And that's my favorite saying in the Bible.
That's right.
God
that's right.
called out, and this stuff touched my heart, and I said, Here I am. Pick me.
Peter, thank you for this program tonight. This is a powerful program, and everyone needs to archive it. And I know some of these people came on tonight because I asked them, but Brother Peter does this on every Thursday, his Sound Doctrine broadcast. And you're right. And I do it on Sundays and Thursdays. We need to unite the alternative media, like Peter said, because we have a voice. Brother Peter, I know you don't have much time left, but please, go ahead. I could talk forever, but go ahead.
You can find me on Facebook. My name is Lisa Mitchell, and my picture, like I said, is holding each state, 50 states, accountable for child abuse. They're guilty of it for the state and federal funding. Every state budget, it's back off the balance of these, off the back of these kids. And my other picture that's on Facebook, and it says this, and it's from Nelson Mandela. There can be no keener revelation than a society's soul than the way it treats its children.
That's right.
And there is nothing that we can say about our soul. Then what we get, your children are not mine, but I love your children, and I care about what's happening to the children. And I believe parents when they come to me, and I know that the kids are being removed and sold on the market, and these parents are losing their children left and right.
That's right.
But I know it's true. I know there are bad parents. Well, I don't want to say bad because, you know, everybody's got their dynamics of the dysfunction, but they still need to be allowed to have, to learn how to be a good parent. They need to learn how to have those skills. This is a reality. A lot of these kids that are coming out of foster care or coming out of the foster care prison, the pipeline, are starting to have families, and they don't know how to raise their children. They
That's
don't
right.
know.
That's right.
This
Peter, Peter, you're right. Lisa, listen, Peter, we need to thank Nathan also. And Peter, thank you for having all of us on tonight. Because you know what? You gave us a voice. You did. You gave us a – and your missionary. God bless him. I know we may have had some differences, but God bless him.
Before I get off here, I need to get off. But I want to sincerely apologize for being just – direct with you. Maybe I shouldn't have been like that, and I that really bothers me. So before I get off, I just wanted to apologize. Well, thank you.
No, you're fine. You're fine, brother. You're fine.
I don't think anybody. I don't think anybody needs to apologize to anybody. I think we need to have a prayer.
That's right.
And
we're here to educate
and
each other too. And we bring.
Can I get Brother Lawrence to pray for the seven angels?
I think we need to have a prayer. And we'll close out this program. I want to thank everybody for calling in. If you didn't get a chance to call in, I apologize if we didn't get to you this evening. It's never our intent. Pretty emotional program. We'll do this again.
That's right.
We'll come back again and we'll visit this subject. And
okay.
I'll try and get some other people involved that are local here in my area and who are part of the system. And we'll see what they say. And if we have that opportunity, if not, I'll give Joe some leads and he can work on it from his end, which we often do. I want to thank you, Brother Lawrence, for coming on and you know, what you do for the Lord and hearing the Lord's call and for blessing children. I want to thank you all for what you're doing.
God bless
you.
God bless
you. I have compassion on you all, and let's just have a prayer and see what the
Amen.
Lord can do.
Amen.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, your Son and our Savior, I bow down before you, God, as humbly as I can. We're united in heart here, knit together, Lord, through your Spirit, and separated, but only by distance, God. And we come before you because there's no separation. You said we can boldly come to your throne, Lord. And each and every one of these people that were on here tonight have needs and have desires. And God, they have compassion and the love of Jesus Christ in their hearts, Lord. And I ask you, God, to please reach out and heal their families, Lord, and bring their children back to them, God, and intervene in this world, Lord, for the children's sake, Father, and
Amazing.
Comfort their hearts. And I thank you, Holy Father, help these ministries and bless and protect the missionary as he travels around the world. It's so dangerous right now. And God, that you would place your angels behind and before them. And each and every person here that's fighting, and Lisa who's battling with a system that's a giant, Lord. And you are the God of the mountain. And so bring it to the top of that mountain, Lord. And bless this man and his wife and comfort their hearts, Lord. And help them to get their children back and open doors for them to fight this justly, Lord, so that you would have your way, Father God. And bless Joseph, Lord. And I know the battles he's had over vaccinations with his children and those things with the city, Lord. And bless him, Lord. And I want to thank my wife, Marilyn, while I'm here. And God, I thank you for such a wonderful wife that supports me and stands by me. And for our church and all the members of the church, Scott and Angelique and those, God, I just ask you to bless them, Lord, and thank you for them. And thank you, Lord, for all you've done and for this program, for Nathan and DL. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Thank you, Nathan. Amen. Thank you, Nathan.
God, one more thing.
God bless.
Jesus, draw me ever nearer as I labor through the storm. You have called me to this passage, and I when the midnight Your likeness.